the ram in the bush. You remember when Abraham was getting ready to offer up Isaac, and he took that knife and he was getting ready to drive that knife through him, that God called Abraham and told him to stop, and he provided a ram in the bush. That is a type of Christ, because in the New Testament, we read that Jesus Christ is that lamb that does what? That is that substitute. He's the one, you know, that God should have took every one of us and raised that knife and drove it through our heart. But what did he do? He sent his son, Jesus Christ. He took our place.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Imitation is the Greatest Form of Flattery. Jesus is the Fulfillment of the Old Testament Types, from our series, Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Imitation is the Greatest Form of Flattery. Jesus is the Fulfillment of the Old Testament Types.
We've been in the midst of a series, Everybody Ought to Know Who Jesus Is. We've started a mini-series within the series, and that is the misunderstood Jesus. And so today we want to look at another aspect, which is misunderstood. And I was so thankful for Dr. Jones singing. I appreciate all the songs that were sung, but I in particular appreciate Sweet Little Jesus Boy. Because in it, you know, I don't know if you heard it, you know, it said that we didn't know who you was. You know, and that's the case with the topics that we are going to talk about and that we have been talking about during this Advent season, that people really don't know who Jesus is. And as we look at that babe lying in a manger, we don't know a lot of what I'm going to say this morning. And just as we come to the message today, it'll be more of a teaching message, because we want to know who Jesus is. And so I've titled this message, Imitation is the Greatest or Sincerest Form of Flattery. And why did I give that title to this message? The reason that I gave this that title is because if you look in the Old Testament, there were a lot of things that pointed to and talked about Jesus Christ, many of which we don't even know. And the fact that these things would be an imitation of things to come, that's a sincere and great form of flattery, imitation. So this morning, we want to look at this idea of the fulfillment of the types, that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament types. You know, as I look at the various types that we see in the Old Testament, the different presentations of Christ that we have in the Old Testament, my mind goes back to Romans. If you would turn there with me, Romans chapter 11 and verse 33. Just as I think about this idea, how God thought ahead of time, and he just splattered images of Christ all in the Old Testament. And many people miss that. Many people don't, when they think of Jesus and they see that babe lying in the manger, they really didn't know who he was. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33, Paul tells us about the magnificence of God in doing this. A God that would have such knowledge and such foresight to be able to implant and embed these testimonies about Christ in the Old Testament. Paul says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." And I just wonder if many of us would have had the insight to do what God did. Before the book was even written, God said that he would place things about his son in the prefaces to the fact that his son would actually come. And he put all these things in there. And saints, I tell you what, Christianity just stands head and shoulders above every other faith. And I'm not saying that because I'm a Christian. I'm saying that because of the evidence. If you would just examine the evidence, you would see that Christianity, that this God that you serve, that this Christ that we love, that we are in a far better place than any other faith on the face of this earth. The fact that God has such wisdom and knowledge that's unsearchable. I was speaking to somebody one time and they said that I told them that, you know, we can never understand God. And they said, well, I want to be able to understand him. I said, how many of us want a God that you can understand? I don't want a God that if I could understand him, then that means that I was God. So I don't want to understand God. I just want to stand back sometimes and just look at the depth of the wisdom, of the knowledge, and the riches of God, and look and see how unsearchable they are. And so as we talk about these types this morning, this just in my spirit confirms more and more about this God who is all-knowing. As we think about a type, what is a type? The word type comes from the Greek word tupos, which means an example or a pattern. So a type is an example of something else. A type is a pattern of something else. Now, in order for us to understand types, we've got to understand antitypes. And so when we talk about the types of Christ, it's important to understand what an antitype is. And so a type, when we specifically speak about the Bible, a type is a person, a thing, or event found in the Old Testament which refers to Jesus Christ. All right, that's a type. A type is a person, a thing, or event found in the Old Testament which refers to Jesus Christ. So if there's a type, there must be an antitype. So what is an antitype? It is the reference in the New Testament that takes us back to that Old Testament type. And a lot of people want to stretch types, and they want to make everything a type. You know, you go through and everything is a type. You know, you cross a river, that's a type of something. You do the, you know, and so we got to be a little leery about looking, reading the Old Testament and making everything a type. I've told you the story about this guy who was a friend of mine, and we were talking one day, and he said that his pastor got mad at him. And I asked him why. He said because it was Christmas, and his pastor asked him to sing a Christmas song. And so he got up and sang Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And the pastor got a little upset with him, and he, you know, couldn't understand why the pastor got upset. And I said, well, you know, that's not a song that is necessarily, you know, when you're worshiping Christ. He said, well, I thought that Rudolph was a type of Christ. And I said, well, how did you figure that? Well, you know, he was picked by Santa Claus, right, to go be out front. God picked his son. You know, he had a red nose, and that represented the blood of Christ. And then he was rejected by all the other reindeers, and Christ was rejected. I said, come on, man, that's kind of stretching it right there. That's kind of stretching it. And so we look at, you know, this idea of types, and we understand that it has to be something that a direct reference is made in the New Testament that makes it a type. Now, this is available for those of you who want it in the bookstore, but I just wanted to run through very quickly the many types of Christ, and I tried to get all of them. I might have missed one or two, so we're going to go through this. If we could go to that next slide. So I'm going to go through this rather quickly, but if you want a copy of this, it is in the bookstore. Adam was a type of Christ. And we see that Adam was the first man who brought sin into the world. And so Jesus Christ is the second man because he is the one who brought life and righteousness into the world. So Adam was a type of Christ. And it says this specifically in Romans chapter 5 and verse 14, where Adam is the first man, Christ is the second man. The bronze serpent is a type of Christ. You remember when the serpents bit those Israelites in the wilderness, and God told Moses to take a serpent and lift it up on a pole, and everybody who looked to the serpent would be healed. And Jesus in John 3 said, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So the bronze serpent is a type of Christ. The first fruits in the Old Testament, when Israel planted their crops, that the first fruit, whatever came up first, the best, was to be taken right off the top and given to God. Well, we're told in 1 Corinthians 15 that Christ is the first fruits of those who rose from the dead. We see that Isaac was a type of Christ. And some of these I'm going to look into in a little detail here in a second. But Isaac is a type of Christ. And the way that Isaac is a type of Christ is it says in Genesis chapter 22 that he was Abraham's unique son. And in John 3:16, what do we read about Jesus? Is that he is the only begotten son of God. So Isaac is a type of Christ.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with a special announcement. We are going to have Walk Through the Bible, New Testament, here at Bethany Baptist Church on April 4th, 2020, from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Come join us as we walk through the New Testament in a fun, packed, interactive way. For more details or to register, call 412-242-3255.
As we move on, we see that the cornerstone, that in the Old Testament, when they put the building down, they lined everything off of the cornerstone. And not only did they line things off of the cornerstone, but the cornerstone became the foundation of the building. In the New Testament, we read that Christ is the chief cornerstone. The high priest who made intercessions for the people, he is a type of Christ in the fact that he took the people's offering and he went to God on behalf of the people. And Hebrews chapter 5 tells us that Christ is our high priest. The vessels in the tabernacle are a type of Christ. All the different items that we see represent some aspect of the life of Christ. Do we have another one up there? Okay. The ram in the bush. You remember when Abraham was getting ready to offer up Isaac and he took that knife and he was getting ready to drive that knife through him, that God called Abraham and told him to stop, and he provided a ram in the bush. That is a type of Christ, because in the New Testament we read that Jesus Christ is that lamb that does what? That is that substitute. He's the one, you know, that God should have took every one of us and raised that knife and drove it through our heart. But what did he do? He sent his son Jesus Christ, who took our place. Here goes a very interesting one, and I didn't really know this one until I started studying for this message today. That Jacob's ladder. You remember in the Old Testament, Jacob had a dream, and in this dream he saw angels going up and down a ladder. You know, we all learned that one in Sunday school, right? Well, Jesus in John chapter 1 and verse 51 said that he was the ladder that was leaned up against heaven. And now people can go up and down on him. So Jacob's ladder was a type of Christ. Jonah. Now see, all these that I'm sharing with you, they all have a specific New Testament counterpart. And it says in the New Testament that this relates back to this. So again, you got to be careful about types, because a lot of people just want to make everything a type. Jonah was a type of Christ, because Jonah was in the belly of the great fish 3 days and 3 nights. And what did Jesus say? As Jonah was in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. So Jonah was a type. The manna that fell from heaven, that was a type. Jesus said that he was the manna that came down from heaven. Here goes an interesting one. We're going to look at this one here in a second. Melchizedek was a type of Christ. In the Old Testament, Abraham, after he came back from bringing his nephew Lot from captivity, he paid tithes to this priest and king named Melchizedek. Now, this, I don't want to get into it right now, but this dude Melchizedek, he was a powerful guy. But Christ is Melchizedek is a type of Christ, because we read that in the book of Hebrews. The Passover lamb. You remember when God led the people out of Egypt and he told them the night that he sent the angel through to take the firstborn in the land of the people in Egypt. And he said that take the blood of a lamb, put it over the doorpost, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, what did Paul say? He said Christ is our what? Passover. Christ is our Passover. The rock in the wilderness. You remember that rock that Moses spoke to and that he struck, and it provided water that the Israelites were complaining and they were grumbling that they didn't have any water. And God sent this rock, and this rock nourished them. And in 1 Corinthians 10, it says that Christ was that rock, the scapegoat in the Old Testament. We see that the priest, he would take a goat and he would lay the sins of all the people on this goat. And this goat would be released into the wilderness and take the sins of the people away symbolically. And the Bible says that Christ is our scapegoat. What did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God that does what? That takes away, that takes them out into the wilderness, that runs them away from us. He is the scapegoat. Were there any more up there? I forgot how many I put. All right, well, the reason I did that, because I want us to see that the Old Testament is filled with this typology of Jesus Christ. And maybe some of these things you never thought about. You read them before, but you never thought about them being a type of Christ. Now, I just want to go through very quickly and maybe talk just about a few of them in a little more detail. But before I do that, go back to that one slide where it gives the New Testament pictures of types. There you go, right there. Now, as we talk about types, in the New Testament, there are four words that are used to depict a type. One word, and these are all spelled out in your notes for you. One word is the word model. And a model served as a symbol of something that was to come. If you've got a model, then what do you have? You have a replica of the real thing. So these things in the Old Testament were models of what was to come. Another Greek word that's used is for the word copy, and it means something to be imitated. And it's spoken specifically of the animal sacrifices. You know, we ask about, well, you know, why did they have to give all these sacrifices in the Old Testament? You know, they killed all these lambs, and they killed all these bulls, and they killed all these goats, and why did they give these things in order to have their sins forgiven? Well, the New Testament is very clear, because it said that these things could never take away sin. So when we read those and it talks about being a sin offering and the offering for forgiveness, well, the New Testament makes it clear that these things could never take away sin, and that they were just a what? A copy. Because why? They were a copy of something that was to come. That when Jesus Christ came, he would be the fulfillment of all those sacrifices. So these things are just a copy, a shadow. In another place, it tells us, well, what is a shadow? A shadow is a image, a dark image, that's a projection of what? The real thing. That if we are walking and there's light shining on one side, that we have a shadow. Now, is that shadow us? No, the shadow is a replica of us. That shadow is a image of us. And so these things in the Old Testament, they were just images of the real thing. And then the last word we see is the word parabole, which is the Greek word for illustration. And that these things were just illustrations of Christ. So, you know, this is a fascinating study when you think about typology. Now, let's just go, and I'm going to move through this rather quickly and look at some of the more pronounced types that we see in the Old Testament. The first one is Adam. And how is Adam a type? Well, let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And so, as we consider this first man, what did he do? What did the first man bring? The first man brought sin, and the first man brought death. See, you know, I don't know how justified we would be, but I think that when I get to heaven, you know, there's a lot of people I want to see. And, you know, Jesus Christ, LC, I got a question, as I say, I want to ask him about. And Adam, you know, early on in my conversations, I want to look up Adam, and I just want to ask him, man, what in the world was going through your mind? You know, tell me, man, you know, you really made my life miserable. And I just want to know why. And the reason that I want to ask that question, because, and you know, in theological circles, there's a big debate whether Adam made a choice for us, and then we all would, you know, were victim of Adam's choice. Or some theologians say, well, if we were in that position, we would have did the same thing as Adam, so, you know, we can't blame him. Well, you know, I'm going to blame him anyways, because I know it's his fault that we have all this stuff going on. And so just like Adam was the first man, and he was the first one who brought on sin and who brought on death. If you look, as we go on and read, it says in verse 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that hath not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is, look at our word. What does it say there? Who is a what? A figure. Oh, that's back to the type. That's back to our word, who is a figure of him that was what? To come. Oh, man, that's some good stuff right there. If nobody else is, I'm excited about these types, man. This is just some good stuff. And then if we went on, let's drop down to verse 20. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but wherein sin abound, grace did much more abound. That is, sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So Adam was the first man who brought sin and death.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion. Of imitation is the greatest form of flattery. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament types. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, imitation is the greatest form of flattery. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament types. You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request. Imitation is the greatest form of flattery. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament types. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request. Imitation is the greatest form of flattery. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament types. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.